This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and we'll begin today in Puerto Rico, where millions of Americans are still without food, water, electricity, or gas. Today, President Donald Trump touched down on the island after criticism from local officials, including the mayor of San Juan, over the federal government's response to the Puerto Rican crisis. And upon arriving, President Trump received a briefing on the relief efforts, and he said this.
I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives. If you look at the every death is a horror. But if you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina, and you look at the tremendous hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that died, and you look at what happened here with really a storm that was just totally overpowering. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. Now, what is your death count as of this moment? 17?
16 certified.
16 people certified. 16 people versus in the thousands.
That was President Donald Trump in Puerto Rico earlier today. Well, the Boston Globe's David Abel has been reporting from Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, and he just left San Juan this afternoon. He joins us now from Miami. David, it's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Meghna.
So first of all, tell us what you saw on the island and what people told you.
Well, I literally just landed in Miami, and I was there for nearly a week, and to hear what President Trump just said is breathtaking and almost mind-boggling in the sense that the widespread nature of the damage is a catastrophe, I would say, beyond explanation. As far as the death toll and the count, we really have no idea at the moment. Mm-hmm. Communications have been down across the island for nearly 2 weeks since the hurricane hit. There is no gas for a lot of people. You have to wait on lines from 4 to 8 hours to get gas. Nearly everyone on the island has no electricity and no running water in their house. Mm. I've spoken to a lot of officials on the island. They still don't know. And I actually this morning, right before leaving, was at the main morgue in San Juan, and they are being flooded with bodies. They have had to create, there are four temporary storage units where additional bodies have been coming in because, in part, funeral homes have been unable to store the bodies there. And then there are not just necessarily people who die in the ways that we think of as an immediate consequence of a natural disaster like a hurricane or an earthquake where a building falls on them or they drown, but there are all kinds of secondary casualties.
Yeah.
And you know, there are many people who are suffering greatly right now, and it's really hard to enumerate.
So David, just I'm going to ask you a little bit more about what people on the island think about the federal government's response. But tell us a little bit more. I mean, were you able to travel all around Puerto Rico? Because, I mean, obviously a lot of effort focused on San Juan and other more populated areas. But, you know, in the early days after the hurricane, we were hearing that there were some parts of the island that were, like, actually inaccessible. So we didn't even know how much damage or what had happened to people there.
Exactly. We did. We traveled east and west and south, saw as much of the island as we could get to. And there were parts that we couldn't get to because we would be driving and then all of a sudden the road wouldn't be there anymore. There are bridges, critical bridges, that were washed away, and we were following maps and we just had to turn around in various cases. But I was on, as you said at the top, I was on St. John and St. Thomas in the immediate aftermath of Irma. And the damage there was intense and horrifying, and there's no way to mitigate what has happened to those islands. But I think what was astonishing to me is the breadth of the damage across Puerto Rico. And what I mean is from the south, a town where the eye of the storm washed ashore at the first point in Puerto Rico. I mispronounce it regularly. It's Yacuboa,
mm-hmm.
Yocuboa. But it, you know, the hills have lost so many trees. It's an incredibly lush place that has no more green.
Wow.
The trees have been hit so hard that they don't even have bark on them.
So totally and denuded then.
Completely.
David, I'm sorry to interrupt you, David. But before we run out of time, I did want to ask you, you know, we remember seeing images of the mayor of San Juan, Carmen Yulin Cruz, for example. I mean, she's been quite critical of the federal government's response. We've seen images of there were tens of thousands of containers with supplies stranded at some Puerto Rican ports because the infrastructure to get those supplies further inland wasn't up and running. I mean, what did the average Puerto Ricans whom you were able to speak to, what did they think about the federal government's response?
Well, some people have asked me about what they thought about what Donald Trump has been saying. And the first response to that is that most people have no idea what he's been saying because they have no access to TV.
Right.
They have no access to radio. They're not hearing anything.
Yeah.
But as far as what I have seen from the federal government's response, and there is incredible concern and anger that there is a lack of federal troops on the ground, and there has been. It's ramping up today. It's been ramping up in the last few days, but we're talking about a pretty significant island, and all over the place there was no sign of federal presence. And there is a vast need for security. There's a vast need for help with heavy equipment, and people. There's a lack of cash. People can only now take out $200,
mm-hmm.
and they have to stand online to get that money for sometimes 8 hours,
wow.
Or longer. There was a guy who couldn't get gas. He had to spend 40 hours online. And then he died.
He died?
Because he had a pre-existing issue.
Oh.
There's so many stories. You can't walk, you can't drive throughout any part of Puerto Rico and not hear a significantly tragic, sad story.
Well, that's David Abel, reporter for the Boston Globe, speaking to us from Miami. He's just back on the mainland from a reporting trip to Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. David, we're going to have you back soon to hear more of what you saw, and we look forward to reading what you put in the Globe. Thank you so much for bringing us up to speed on the challenges in Puerto Rico.
Thank you, Meghna.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.